Good morning, Wharton Church family. Welcome once again to another online service as we are in the midst of a great pandemic and we are still under stay-at-home orders. But this is our teaching time for this Sunday, and we're so glad that you have joined us and can participate wherever you are, at home, with family surrounded, living room, bedroom, wherever you are watching this program, office space. Welcome to our online edition at Wharton Full Gospel Assembly. We are starting a new series called Gradual Additions. And if you have your Bibles, we want to ask you to go get those, or if you follow along with an iPad or a smartphone or wherever, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We just finished a series on Galatians called Free. But there's a couple of verses that I want to highlight over the next few weeks out of the book of Galatians, but on a different topic. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says these words: "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Very important words, very important words that I want you to take to heart. Maybe underscore that verse in your Bible. Now, the reason I come to that verse is because I hear people make the comments many times after I have spoken, after I have given a message. People make comments such as, "How did you know that I needed to hear that today?" Or, "It sounds like you were in our home this past week, because we discussed that very topic that you talked about." You know, my friends and I were talking about that very topic that you preached on. Those comments are nice and they certainly clarify and maybe even confirm maybe what God has been doing through His Spirit, but it's not that complicated when people make those kind of comments, because usually I hear someone say something, or I've read something, or there's a news item that I come across regarding our culture, perhaps challenges that people are experiencing, or how it affects the beliefs of Christians. And the Holy Spirit has a unique way of illuminating that truth, which develops into messages week after week. Other times, messages or topics come from my own personal spiritual journey. And when people make those kind of comments, like I mentioned a few moments ago, when people make those kind of comments, it confirms what God is not only doing in their lives, but what God is also doing and working in my life. And I speak from the perspective of what God is doing in my life. And hopefully, some of the things that I have learned could be helpful to you as a listener as well. Other times, there are simply truths in the Bible that affect us all, meaning all people, whether they're a follower of Christ or whether they're a seeker after the truth of God. It doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are or what stage in life you are at. There are biblical truths that can impact all of us. And it doesn't matter what season in life you may be in, these truths are something that we need to hear. And this verse out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is a truth that we all need to hear. This is one of those verses that is an impactful verse. Now, when you read this verse, as we did just a few moments ago, in its first reading, those words seem very obvious. These words in this verse are and can be very challenging to our lives. And therefore, I've selected this title, Gradual Additions, for this very reason. The words that we read in this verse, the words project something incredibly important that I need you to get a hold of. What this verse is describing is this. There are small things in life that build up over time, and as they build up, they can impact our lives significantly, and it can determine who we are or become as a person, in our relationships, in our finances, with our health, and our spiritual lives. In other words, in all areas of our lives, these things that build up over time can impact us more than we realize. All kinds of seemingly insignificant choices, decisions that we make, actions on our part, all kinds of seemingly insignificant moments, they build one upon another. Each piece, each little thing, each insignificant thing build upon one another, that in the long term significantly and ultimately define us. We may not realize it at the moment. We may not know at that very particular moment that we're making a choice or a decision whether that decision will actually be significant in our lives. But whenever we make a decision, whatever choice we make, they have incredible power upon us, more than we realize. And they build us into the person that we become in the future. The decisions we make today are really defining who I will become tomorrow. The decisions you make today will define who you will become tomorrow into the future. There's an illustration of this I'd like to share with you, and it has to do with monarch butterflies. Monarch butterflies are one of God's most delicate and durable creations. And every October, they begin their journey from Canada, arriving in Mexico at the beginning of November. This journey is about 5,000 kilometers. And along the way, these butterflies, these creatures, have an incredible and serve an incredible purpose as they pollinate a variety of plants along the way. Useful plants, important plants in our ecosystem. One scientist said these words as he warned us about the demise of monarch butterflies. He said, if we pull the monarch out of our ecosystem, we are literally pulling the rug out from under a lot of other species. The New York Times reported that scientists have been watching the monarch butterfly population plummet for the last 15 years. And the long-term survival, the article goes on to say, the long-term survival of these species may be in doubt. The article notes that while the causes of decline are very complex, the human lifestyle choices seem to be the most reasonable cause behind the decline of monarch butterflies. For example, illegal logging in Mexico has reduced the habitat of the monarchs. And farmers across America use a herbicide that kills milkweed plants, which is essential food for the monarch butterfly as it makes its transitory flight from the north to the south. The article in the New York Times concludes by pointing out what it calls the dilemma of human behavior. And it says this dilemma runs much deeper than damaging the butterfly species. It also applies to the cost of sin in general. As the article puts it, and I quote, we live in a world of unintended consequences of our own making, which can never be easily undone. This small example from nature regarding the monarch butterfly promotes a larger spiritual reality that I'm trying to pinpoint here for us. Our actions, our words, our choices, our decisions can cause more damage and have larger consequences in the future as we allow these things to build up in our lives. Seemingly insignificant comments and decisions and actions on our part gradually compile and build only to reveal what is really transpiring within us. Let me give you some other examples of how this plays out in our lives. Finances. Let's talk about our finances for a moment. Certainly, a person can become a millionaire by winning the lottery, but that's very rare. That's an exception. The odds are stacked against you if you are playing the lottery and hope to become a millionaire. What's more common is for a person to become wealthy by building wealth little by little, precept by precept, time over time, over a long period of time. In fact, a book written entitled Millionaire Next Door illustrates that the most people who have wealth in our country are not people who have made incredible inventions or have a lucky draw from a lottery ticket. Wealth, this book says, was created over time by making small, smart financial decisions, and after enough time, there was an accumulation of those decisions that created wealth. A 25-year-old decides, I am not going to drink coffee, $5 coffee or $6 coffee every day at Starbucks. I'm not going to have a can of soda drink at lunch. I'm going to have water, and I'm going to bring my own lunch to the workplace. And instead of spending money on these items, I'm going to take my $5 or $6 every day and put them into a savings account. And friends would say, it's only a soda. It's only a coffee. Why don't you indulge a little bit? It's no big deal. It's just a few bucks every single day. It's just something that you can enjoy and indulge upon. But a 25-year-old who makes a decision not to buy that kind of a drink over a long period of time, by the time they reach retirement and having put aside $5 or $6 every single day towards retirement, that 25-year-old will become a millionaire in that span of time, taking small incremental amounts of money, gradually adding to it each and every day. Doesn't seem very significant, doesn't seem like a very big deal, but over the long term, it's building up in order to make that person a millionaire. Most of us would like solutions to happen with one big decision, but the power of small, gradual additions is built upon principles that are easy to do, but at the same time are not easy to do. Conversely, if you talk to somebody who has $30,000 in credit card debt and you ask them, how did this happen? How did you accumulate so much debt? They didn't go on a $30,000 shopping spree. No, it was $10 here, $10, $20 there, $50 over here, $100 over there. And when they got their bill after a time, they're shocked to see the credit card bill come in and to see all this money that they have spent and accumulated. They see that large amount of debt and they say, we've got to make changes. We can't keep doing this. They pay off a little bit, but they keep using the card. And over time, that money accumulates to a very large credit card bill. Sometimes you don't know how that happens, but it's the small little incremental decisions that people make over time become monumental obstacles in their lives. Let's talk about health. Here's another example. You're not going to become physically fit when you make one decision to go to the gym and do a massive workout at one time. It takes time, it takes days, it takes weeks, it sometimes takes years, and you have to maintain a regimen, a daily routine of exercising on a daily basis. There's a TV show called The Biggest Loser. I've never watched this show. I am told, apparently, that in the show, contestants are put through intensive workouts. And during these workouts, people are upset. Sometimes they start crying. It's painful. And people are pitted against other people. And there's a competition where they hope that people, through this competition, are become motivated enough to lose weight. And part of the show, I'm told, people do a documentary on a person's life. And what's interesting is none of them said that this is what they want for their lives, to be overweight and to have a condition where they seemingly cannot eat healthy foods. But it was one bad decision that led to another decision when it came to eating and then overeating. It was one meal at a time. Not once. It wasn't a once and that was it order from a menu. No, what happened was small incremental decisions that came to eating food, improper food, that caused them to become unhealthy people. Here's another category that I think affects our lives. The highest rate of divorce right now is happening as a result of the COVID pandemic. Divorces have significantly increased during this COVID pandemic. And Lisa Bashke, a lawyer from Mississauga, said these words: "The pandemic has definitely impacted people's relationship within the home, especially considering both parties have to now work from home." You see, it wasn't COVID that created divorce. No, what COVID did was it exposed some underlying issues within the marriage relationship that now came to the surface. Couples say, well, I don't know how this has happened. Maybe it seems that for years we were just growing apart. Maybe we just fell out of love with him or her. But there came a tipping point. Eventually, there came this point, accumulation of little things that over time created this separation of the marriage relationship. Small criticisms day in, day out. The stresses and uncertain feelings that happened over time. Unresolved tension, bad communication skill set. Not a big deal at first, but gradually, over time, one issue heaping upon another issue, additional stuff added to it, and pretty soon one thing piled upon another thing to bring about total dissatisfaction in the marriage relationship. And then when COVID comes along, now those things are exposed and a marriage falls apart. Listen, please listen to this. In every area of life, we end up being defined by things that are easy to do and by things that are not easy to do. Little things that add up over time. And that's what Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is talking about. It's talking about, for the most part, we have a hard time realizing this. It's talking about this aspect that little things add up over time. You see, the Apostle Paul had just finished writing in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit of God in us, bears or reveals to us the fruit that we should be living in, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, faithfulness, self-control. God wants us to develop those kind of attributes in our life. And then if you read in Galatians chapter 6, there are other seeds that if you plant these seeds, they will have opposite effect in your life. They will have consequential effects in your life. There will be consequential harvests that will take place as a result of these seeds coming to fruition in your life. I want to read this verse in the New International Version, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And we're probably more familiar with this version of the verse. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." A person reaps what he sows. In other words, what we sow little by little, adding things upon things, eventually bear fruit in our lives. This is what we need to know, friends, as we talk about gradual additions in our life. This is what we knew. There is a law that God has built into the universe. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 reveals what this law is. And it's the law of sowing and reaping. You see, God has created this world and put all kinds of laws in place. There are physical laws as well as spiritual laws. And these laws will either work for you or will work against you. I can't explain the law of magnetism. I'm not a scientist. I don't understand it very well. I certainly couldn't teach it. And I'm lost. But when I'm lost, I can pull out a compass in the field or in the woods. In rural areas where there's nobody, I can pull out a compass and I can use the law of magnetism to my advantage. That law, the law of magnetism, God has put into place in the universe. The law of gravity, here's another law that God put into place as he created the world. I can't explain it very well. I'm not a scientist. But whether or not you understand the law of gravity, the law of gravity exists whether you can explain it or not. You may not agree with the law of gravity, but the law of gravity doesn't care whether you agree with it or not. The law of gravity is. It isn't suspended just because you don't understand it. The law of gravity has been put in place by the Creator, just like the law of magnetism. The same is true for the law of sowing and reaping, as explained to us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. This law is built into the system of our universe. It's consistent as with all other laws. It's a true law. It's there whether you want to believe it or not. And the Apostle Paul says, you will harvest, you will reap what you sow. You will harvest what you plant. You don't have to like it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to understand it. But that law, the law of sowing and reaping, is always there. It will work for you or it will work against you. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible puts it into physical terms, this law of sowing and reaping. In Genesis chapter 1, as God created the world, this law was being put into place. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. Fruit has seeds. Seeds bear the fruit from which it came. And so we're going to talk about and we're going to look at this incredible law, the law of sowing and reaping. And we're going to point to some principles that you don't want to underestimate in your life. So next week, as we continue this series, as our time is up today, this next week, we're going to talk about three principles of sowing and reaping. Here are the three principles that we're going to talk about next week. The seed you plant matters. Secondly, seeds won't grow until they're planted. And thirdly, you will reap more than you sow. I hope you can join us next week again as we continue our series from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8, as we talk about this incredible principle, the law of sowing and reaping, in the sermon series entitled Gradual Additions. Let's pray together. Father, may our hearts be attuned to principles and laws that you have put into place that can affect us positively or negatively. May we be aware as we study your word that these principles affect our lives spiritually as well. May we become people who are open and learners to what your word has to say so that we can see the handiwork of God displayed through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you for joining us today, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week as we continue in this series, Gradual Additions. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.